Even though there's this one where she's Oh, forget it. Anyway, so ladies and gentlemen, we are just having a blast early this morning. The Dodgers, unfortunately, are not. I think they stayed overnight in St. Louis.
Really?
I don't think they went home because they were scheduled for another game, so they're probably going to leave sometime today. They're not in a hurry to get home. The Dodgers had an exciting team. There's no doubt about it. There are some questions for this team, but the reality is they just got bloodied. They realized what happened, and I think they're going to be back again. This team is a little too good to just flake.
Very much so.
But we've all seen good teams flake.
Yeah, very much so.
And that's, and notice, I will never use that sentence with the Clippers. Never. Want to welcome everyone in the chat room. Thanks for joining us live. And for those of you that are listening to the archive, thank you. Guys, let us know who's listening, because we see our download numbers. And we want to talk to all three of you. And we would love to – don't make that face, big dog. Whenever Sonny hears us, that counts as one. So our audience of two deserves to know that they're a bigger audience. Guys, let us know where you're listening to us. Let us have your name. Let us know what city you're in. If you want to let us know your favorite team in sports, sure.
Your birthday, your social, you know, just the usual stuff.
No. That was good, though, big dog. But, you know, let us know. We'll gladly give you a shout-out. And if you have a message for anyone that you want us to hey, Brian. Brian's listening. Hey, Mr. Darvin. How's Cujo? How is Cujo?
He needs to call in so we can talk about Grambling.
Ah, yes. We will talk about that shortly then. But
of course, he is our resident college expert.
He is our resident. I would dare say he is the visiting experto de colegios at the damn DMV. Oh, he's good.
Oh, boy.
At the damn DMV. You know, Brian, we are sorry.
And it's nice to know that it is universally called the same thing. Across the United States.
Didn't know that, but it is, yes.
Yes, it is the Dan. Well, that's the nice river, because he is, of course, the Southern gentleman. But that's about the worst you'll get from him is the damn DMV.
Brian, were your ears ringing yesterday? Because Cap Potato and I, we're talking about you. Oh, yes, we were.
What were you talking about?
That's privilege. That's executive. That
oh, it wasn't on air.
No, that was executive. Repartee between two executives from two respective programs. But I love the fact how the weigh-in sports talk, the couch potato, and sports talk. You notice that we don't have the in front of us? We don't. We're just sports talk with the guy.
Well, see, that's because we don't need to draw attention to us by saying the or the.
Well, we also don't put, you know, white bed sheets over us either, dude.
Well, neither does couch potato.
That's a high five right there. That's a high five.
All right.
And if we forgot anyone on that slander or slur, well, that's just us.
Well, how interesting.
And that's why Cat Potato and I were talking about that, how he was telling me, he says, damn it, scorekeeper, sometimes you see some stuff and it's like, all you do is force us into uncomfortable silence.
Like, speaking of Cat Potato, did you catch his pictures of his Hall of Fame arena?
Oh, I caught some of it. But ladies and gentlemen, as you know, I'm really starting to feel better. I had vertigo for about 2.5, almost 3 weeks.
Yes, I know.
It was no fun. It really
got really bad when you sent me the thing from Bleacher Report. I could not believe that. But, you know, that's why I said, you must have had vertigo, damn it.
Yeah.
Talk so much crap about them, then you sent me a report by them.
That was pretty effed up, huh? But it was about Lamar. Who cares? Who gives a crap?
It's Bleacher Report.
Yeah, I was having a hard time. Big Dog, I want to thank you for visiting the 7-Eleven this morning at, what is it? Oh, to everyone at the DMV where Brian is, we hope you are having a good time. Get your stuff done, you know, and Brian, don't look around.
Get your shit together.
Yeah, get your shit together, get it done, and we hope you guys have a good day, because there's a lot of college stuff. So when Brian is done with DMV, you know, I didn't know that they passed a bill in Georgia. I know they passed one in California where illegals can get licensed. No.
Breaking news.
I didn't know that they had it in Georgia. I wonder if that's why Brian is only, all right, breaking news. Say it again.
Hey, this happened at 4:43 in the morning. It broke. NBA legend, Bill Russell, was arrested this week in at the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport with a loaded gun that was found in his carry-on luggage.
Oh, my God, bitch. I'll say it ain't so because I really don't give a shit.
Neither do I, since he's a Celtic, but, you know, he's still one of the most respected basketball players.
Are you serious?
Russell?
No. I don't know. I mean, arrested.
You said he was arrested.
That's what I meant by you serious. No, yeah. All the other stuff.
The transportation.
That would have been one of the few times to have the camera to look McDonald looked like. Is this one of those times where I get beat the crap out of you, Raj, for being stupid?
The Transportation Security Administration, otherwise known as the TSA, to the airport police arrested Russell on Wednesday night at a security screen after agents noticed the 38 caliber Smith & Wesson pistol in his carry-on bag.
That's a Saturday Night Special, right?
Yeah. The TSA spokeswoman...
It's very important. When was he arrested? Saturday morning?
No, Wednesday night.
Oh, Wednesday night. Pendejo!
Yes, why he got arrested.
Yeah! Pendejo!
They said Russell was turned over to Seattle police and cited on a state charge of having a weapon in a prohibited area. Russell had a permit for the gun, which was loaded with 6 rounds and confiscated, and he was released.
If you notify them, it's different. You got to notify them.
Doesn't say you have to notify them. It says airline passengers are permitted to travel with firearms, but only in checked luggage. And they must be stored properly and unloaded.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to say anything, but he can't take it on with them, which, of course, is that is right.
Yeah, if you're getting on a plane, you tell them, hey, guys, I've got a weapon. It's over here. Don't get spooked, whatever.
Russell, who is 79, has lived in Seattle, in the Seattle area for decades.
What was he playing on? Oh, Boston. Idiot.
He won 11 titles in 13 years.
Yeah, that's impressive. Kind of like me getting 15 very good performance evaluations out of 18 years. I'm damn proud of that. I'm damn proud of it. And for those of you that know, I wasn't damn proud of it yesterday. Yesterday was a very sad day. I'm leaving it at that. I got through it, thank God. Go ahead, Big Dog. So what's going to happen to him? Is he going to be...
That's also in the article. Most likely he was, cited if I have to make a court appearance or his lawyer will.
I mean, he's probably going to have to pay the fine. Is this a misdemeanor or a felony?
It's a misdemeanor. A smart lawyer.
Oh, why are we even talking about
this? Yeah, it's an oxymoron, I know. But
how dare you, Big Dog?
A semi-intelligent lawyer, then.
Well, okay, that may include sports talk with the guys.
Will probably say, he's old. He probably forgot it was in there. He's 79, Judge. He probably forgot it was loaded in there.
And, Judge, ex post facto. That's what you say in court, ex post facto.
That before or after the justice? Sure.
It's real, actually. Ex post facto.
No, I know. I know.
But,
you do the correct thing. Can't just throw it out there.
Well, he could say he's 79, ex post facto, after the fact. Actually, for those of you that know and don't know, ex post facto is, let's say the Big Dog gets charged for beating up the scorekeeper, and while he's going through his arraignment or the court case, the law changed, whereas if you attempt to beat up the scorekeeper, then you get the death penalty. They can't change it. Ex post facto, it's after the fact. They can't change it. Big Dog will still go to jail for the rest of his life for beating up the scorekeeper, but he can't be killed for beating up the scorekeeper. That was just an idea. So, Brian, no evil thoughts while in DMV wanting to beat up some of those people. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I was hoping to get here just before the...
over my white blanket. Mark.
The show
white
started.
White sheet line.
I was going to have...
You were here?
Well, no, I wanted... Before we were opening music, because I was going to have you play the bagpipes. Sweet low.
Brian, you read my mind. Good man. Ryan Darvin, otherwise known as Darvino, he is on Weigh-In Sports.
Yes, the Weigh-In Sports Show.
No, there's Weigh-In Sports Talk. It's Weigh-In Sports Talk. I'll call in soon. I don't know if that's a promise or a threat.
Well, you know why he's mad right now? Or he's
getting his license because
he's
in all the time?
No, not at all.
In California, Brian, you don't have to wait in line. You can just walk up to the DMV and say, me illegal, me get license.
Well, I didn't know rednecks were illegal.
Holy crap.
So I wonder if in line if he actually flinched because you actually called him a redneck.
Well, not, no, but I mean,
he's
from the South.
This is the most offensive you've ever been to Brian, ever.
Oh, to Brian.
I'm sorry.
That's the most offensive I've ever been.
I had to qualify that.
Yeah, you did. Now, I'm going to say he is unhappy right now and maybe a little bit on edge with us because he doesn't have Cujo with him.
What, is there a peanut butter shortage?
No, no, the Cujo would be dissatisfied because then he'd have to do the job without the peanut butter.
Well done. Good morning, everyone. Wow.
I'm glad I wasn't on air yesterday. It was a shitty day yesterday. Where were you? I'm surprised you weren't listening to Tanya's program.
Where was
Shanghai and Tanya?
Actually, yesterday.
Obviously, you were busy.
Yes, I was actually on my work computer doing many, many, many things online. It took me hours
Good
upon
for you.
Hours.
That's, oh, by the way, when did you give me your business card? It was on Saturday, right?
Yes, sir. Did you lose it already?
No. Were your ears ringing on Monday?
My ears are always ringing.
Yeah, because Cuervo and I did a Monday night, and I think we're going to do it again, so I invite everyone. We're going to do a Monday night pre-show, which is at 4:30 p.m. Pacific time, our time.
Is it like before sex pre-show?
Which is usually longer than the actual event. Yeah, that's about right. Anyway, I had a good time, and the topic of conversation was your business card.
So,
and what you said, no names, I didn't say anything, but he said the most manly one they could get had flowers on it.
Well, no, that was the one I gave you was the most manly one. That has letters on the back of it.
Yeah, and I haven't said anything. But I think I did say, no, I didn't even give your title or anything. I didn't give out anything, but it was funny when you were complaining about it.
Yeah, no, see, you didn't...
I slammed you on Monday Night with Cuervo.
See, you didn't see the choices that were available to me.
Oh, I believe you. If this was the most manly one...
That's the most manly one.
Hey, he loves his job and all, but... Damn!
When you work for a greeting card company, I mean...
Oh, let's spill the beans there, Big Dog.
There's a choice out there. There isn't just one greeting card company. There's two major ones.
All right,
take your choice.
Yeah, that's funny. That's good, yeah. Okay, I don't want to get you in trouble.
Oh, I don't mind. I'm an American. And I love to greet people.
Oh.
Anyway.
That will not top the one that I pulled last week.
Dude, you pulled a lot last week.
Actually,
I
did, didn't I?
Oh,
you didn't do it. Thank you. As a matter of fact, yeah, I did. That was even better, Big Dog, and no one will ever get that one, thank God. So we are waiting for what? Go ahead.
No,
if you're not
getting it, never mind. I'll leave that one alone.
No, you should.
Anyways, did you hear about
I was halfway there.
Did you hear about Mr. Clark and Mr. Pujols in their lawsuits?
No, but I want to get one of the most important things out of the way.
Yes, sir.
The A-Roy thing has now been continued to November. So continue. Well, it was related to steroids.
Yeah.
Or steroids.
Yep, and I have lots of Yankee news in my report.
Are you
going to
talk about Beltran? He hasn't even finished with the Cardinals yet.
That's part of the article. But
Holding around or whoring around? I mean, he's already eyeing his next team. See, players can say that, but owners and managers.
Yeah, of course, yes. Yeah. But then Mr. Pujols and Mr. Clark, of course, are embattled in their legal battle because of what happened. What was said by Mr. Clark, Mr. Jack Clark. Oh, Cujo lives with him?
No, he sent me a picture of Cujo. Isn't that sweet? It's actually a video.
Is he licking off the peanut butter? Or
I don't know, but that's Cujo right there. Brian is in line at DMV in Georgia, and he sends us pictures of Cujo. Don't you ever bitch about me posting cat pictures again.
But see, I like dogs.
I know. Well, yeah, but the point is that he's in line and he's sending us pictures of Cujo.
Yeah, but I don't like cats. That's why I make
a cat. I don't like cats.
And you're a cat person. You're that cat man now.
I am becoming a cat person.
You're already there. Trust me.
I have not made the complete turn of the corner.
You're right.
Shut up. He sent me a message. I couldn't read it. Eating peanut butter. A video of Cujo eating peanut butter. A video eating peanut butter. Wow. Our first porno video sent to us and live.
And in bestiality.
Ooh. Is Brian going to call him? Ladies and gentlemen, you get it all. What did Lenny Melnick say?
We don't know what we're talking about, but we sure as hell are entertaining.
That's right. Anyway,
the line was directed at me because I was talking about the size of the stadium. That's what caused him to call in. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
He says, "I don't know about you, Rod, but I actually went to those stadiums. You're wrong." Welcome, Lenny.
Well, he got the
keys of Lenny. You know, people
were. Well, Lenny thought they were much bigger because it was height. You know, he made it. You know.
Do you guys know how tall Lenny Melnick is,
or how tall he's not?
Very well done. You, what happened? You are on an effervescent roll this morning. Ladies and gentlemen.
Lenny's a great guy, though.
Oh, he's a great guy. He's a little ball of excitement, though, because he's little. I mean, he really is. I mean, when he brushed up against me when we were in line, I mean, he got me right there. I was like, wow, was that free? Do I have to take you out to dinner now?
I'd say he's 5'6".
I don't know if he's 5'6".
Really?
Yeah. I mean, when I had to speak to him, I really did have to speak to another level.
You had to speak down to his level.
I had to speak down to his level. Oh, God, let me do the chat room. No, no, he's not.
What I thought was interesting with the Jack Clark and Albert Pujols thing was it's the lawyer, because Jack Clark's lawyer said, well, you know what, let's put an end to all this.
Oh, no.
Let's put it out there right now. Let's both take lie detector tests. Pujols, his lawyer went, no, let's not do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then...
Some people are good at taking those tests.
Yeah, that is true.
I will not admit to the fact that I am, but that's neither here nor there.
And you know, yes, it can be passed, or, you know...
You know how you pass them? Marsha Brady.
Marsha Brady? You say Marsha?
Close. Remember when she took the driving test? That's what you do.
You did?
No, you imagine the driver is not wearing anything, which was porno back in the 1970s, if you think about it. And actually, that was very Hispanic.
Well,
think about it. That was an obese man with a young chick. That happened a lot in Hispanic movies.
No, well, see, what I was thinking more Ocean's 11, when he passes the test where he has a tack in his toe,
yeah.
And, you know, every time they ask him, he pushes down on it.
Oh,
so,
God, how painful.
You know,
yeah.
But anyways, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, if Pujols, you know, right away the detractors.
The other guy made the accusation.
Yeah, and the detractors are the ones that think, well, if he doesn't want to take a lie, why doesn't he want to take a lie detector test?
Because it's in English. You get nervous when it's in English. You don't understand these things, huh, Principe Albert?
Speaking of Prince, and you said Prince, I had not seen Mr. Fielder since when. Oh, my God, he's fat.
Hearing is going. What was that?
He's not heavy. He's not overweight. He's not husky. He's not fluffy. He is effing fat.
Oh, so he is. Damn.
Yes, he's out there with damn. And
Gabriela Iglesias, we love you, baby.
And it looks worse because he doesn't have the beard anymore. He doesn't have the beard anymore to kind of hide it on his face. But when I saw him,
tell me that the beard would hide the girth
a bit.
Actually, that's an insult to the people who are girthy.
I mean, you watched the show. I literally had not seen Prince Fielder all year.
You literally had not seen Prince Fielder all year?
All year long.
Okay, Mr. Big Bang, go on.
That's right.
Kaley Cuoco, baby. Oh, by the way, for those of you that
don't
know.
Did you see her
show?
The where she's in a little teddy and I told you.
You mean the one on Thursday?
No, last week.
I think I may have.
That was at the very, very end.
Yeah, I think I did.
Where Leonard with Leonard.
Oh, yeah.
So at the very end, she's in her little teddy.
Done just for us. Thank you. Just for us. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that know and don't know, I have to get rid of all my magazines, a lot of my stuff. So if you guys want to hit the recyclable container at 4321 Michigan Avenue, South Peak, California, 90280, all of my Maxim magazines are in there. And I cannot believe I dumped Ashley Tisdale.
Oh!
She was on the top one, and she's right to Ashley Tisdale, man. That's a beautiful girl. She's a beautiful woman. And, all my Maxim magazines are being dumped, except for my latest two or three.
Scarlett was never a Maxim.
Oh, my God.
Was she?
I don't think I have a Scarlett episode, though, because that one would never be dumped. Oh, hell no. Hell no. And I was looking through some of those magazines. I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
extent, but, you know, I just can't take them with me because we are, over the next 2 to 3 weeks, we do not know where, yeah. So that's why I just put the address. So everyone, if you want to look at the dump at NGV Media World Headquarters, just check out the address that I just gave you. So there you go. The world of all of our listeners, all of two, including Brian, is now checking out 4321 Michigan Avenue, Southgate, California, 90280.
On Google, right? Google Maps?
At Google Maps.
For
some years, you were able to see my Corolla on there, the Corolla that was, you know, Mish, but that one's gone now.
I remember the Titanic.
Well, rumor has I may have driven several. You mean the lime green one? You called it?
Well, that's, you called it. Oh, that's what you called it, so that's what I called it.
Wilfredo called it the boat or the yacht.
That's
what I drove a 1973 Ford Lime Green Country Squire station wagon. That bitch had, it was an 8-banger, dude, remember? Oh, my God, that thing could haul ass. That was, because that was me to go on field trips and weekend stuff. It was an 8-banger, dude, and it just hauled ass.
Yep.
And I was driving that in the late 80s. Yep, Country Squire with the wood paneling. It was almost... Oh, my God, it was almost a Clark Griswold name. Oh, my God, it was almost a Clark Griswold one.
Now, with the Dodgers season over, now, I mean, it's only less than 24 hours, I know, but since you are the scorekeeper and since you are the baseball expert, would you consider their season a success? I mean, going worst to first, making the playoffs, the excitedness of...
Allow me to remove my Yankee cap.
Along with your Angel jersey. Anyways.
You had to tell them, huh?
But it's the classic, guys. It is the,
yeah.
It is the California Angels jersey. You know, with Jordan on the back.
Don Mattingly. Don Mattingly. I have Don Mattingly. And here's his first baseman myth. This is my Don Mattingly first baseman's mitt. I still have it. I got this thing back in, like, 88. I've had it. Wow. Oh, my God. This is almost as old as you are and I, because I got it in the summer of 88.
No, we're way older than 88. It's 1988.
So we met in 88.
Well, yeah. It's almost as old as how long we've known each other, not how long, how old we are.
Wait a minute. I may have actually had this in the seminary now that I think about it. I've only had 3 gloves in my entire life. I had my pitching glove, which was my Mizuno, and then I had this Franklin, and there was another one in the outfielder's mitt, which I still have. Yeah.
So do you
the one thing I would go through a lot is batting gloves.
Oh, yeah.
And my daughters think it's funny.
So the Dodgers, do you consider their
season? Oh, I'm sorry. Allow me to scare everyone by taking off my Yankee cap. I apologize for that, big dog, if you're blinded by the light.
Yeah, it's awesome. We tasted it! Yay! Can't wait till we get him next year!
Allow me to return as the professional Yankee. Stupid, pathetic losers. I'm sure that they consider it a success. But looking at it professionally, the Dodgers did well. They advanced.
Should they have beaten the Cardinals, in your humble opinion?
They had the power to do so.
Okay.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. Who made the out? Okay,
we've talked about it before. Who gets hot? You know, at the right time.
I don't know.
And
the
Cardinals,
hot, man. They beat them by one run in almost every game.
Yeah. Except for this last one.
This is the life of coming up, you know, short. Sorry, Huapong, in the seminary. When we played Risk in all those games, and we rolled a 6 and a 5, he always rolled a 5 and a 4. I mean, he had the shittiest luck in the world, and I'm coining that phrase. Man, how's the life of always coming up one short? He was the unluckiest bastard in the world. I mean, even when we all rolled 1-1-1, we were like, hey, he's probably going to get 1-1 as well. And he did. He never. Well, he is. He was a good guy. Smart guy. He's a dangerous guy, but
it's not
serious luck.
Yeah.
But I liked having him on my side because he was all right. But,
yeah.
But the Dodgers actually did have a successful season. I think the Dodgers are going to be dangerous because they're going to be spending a lot of money. And if they're smart about it, they have the nucleus to be good for a while. Yeah, the pitching is there. Oh, my God.
Now,
oh, my God. And oh, my God.
That was going to be my next question. Do you see Kershaw as the Cy Young Award winner?
I already called him the Cy Young Award
winner. Well, I know.
It's done.
Well,
it doesn't matter what anyone else says.
I have claimed him to be the Cy Young Award winner. I am the only one that matters. Because the Baseball Writers of America are a bunch of two-bit hose-sucking bags.
Now, do you feel that he just had a bad game, or do you think he was...
All right, hose-sucking tinfoil bag.
Do you feel that he was tired, or do you think they just got to him? I mean, this was just... Because, I mean, every pitcher has it, no matter how good you are.
I saw it.
I saw it.
I saw it, but
after that first two runs.
Oh, no, it was weak instead in right field. It was starting to culminate all of his antics, all of his things. See, here's the thing.
His rookiness.
You know he's wild out there. You have an infield coach, you have an outfield coach, and then you have the whole begging, sucking coach, too, and you should have had someone mentor him.
Yeah, and I think what the fact was, I mean, I could
see the weight of the world on Puig.
Yes, because you could see after he threw that lob, that little lob, you know, in the infield that cost the first two runs, or the first run, I can't remember. You know what I'm talking about, where he
went to second.
Yeah, he threw it, he just kind of went,
I understand what he was doing. It was a desperation get the throw back in.
Yeah, but he should have taken that one extra step or that one extra grab and threw it a second, so you keep the runner at first.
Yaciel. Mira, me tienes que entender esto, que tienes que pensar primero. No se va a acabar el juego así, idiota, pendejo, idiota. Solo porque Fidel Castro te estaba asustando todos esos tiempos, tienes que pensarlo, mano. Tienes un talento increíble. Talento increíble. Pero tienes que saber que ya no estás con Castro, porque Castro no te paga 42 millones de dólares. Creo que te pagan rubles. So no te preocupes, mano. I actually appealed to him in Spanish and also made fun of him because that's the scorekeeper.
You speak Cuban, so he might not have gotten it all.
Oh, coño!
Exactly.
Thank you for the setup, big dog.
Because you just started off with, mira, coño, bájale. But you're right, though. I mean,
which part? I'm being a pig or
what? Well, no, his exuberance.
Are you prepared to go for 5 hours today?
Yeah, I can go.
Okay. Well, no. I'm not saying that.
His exuberance for playing.
It's infectious.
It is infectious, but the fact of the matter, guys, is he's a rookie.
And
he was, what, in the minor leagues for like 6 months, if that?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, there are subtleties in the game, and scorekeeper knows this.
As do you.
Yes, there are some things in the game that you just need to, as he said in Spanish very eloquently, you need to think. You know, take that extra one step. I mean, instead of lobby, I know you want to hurry and get that ball in, but because of that, you allowed the guys to go from first to second to get into scoring position. Had you thrown the ball straight into second, there was no play at home. The guy was coming in regardless, and a veteran player would have saw that and went straight to the cutoff man. So you allowed by that lob throw that went pretty much just past the pitcher's mound, the guy then was able to go from first to second and get himself in the scoring position, which he then scored a couple of plays later. You know, but it's little things like that that, you know, the fan gets frustrated, especially someone who knows the game, such as scorekeeper and others. That's the frustrating part, because you're like, what are you doing? Throw the ball in a second. You know, you don't have a play at home. What you do is
you hit your cutoff man.
Exactly, yeah.
Hit your cutoff man. That's what you're supposed to do.
And the thing is that he has such a great arm. He has a cannon in his arm.
He's starting to believe that he can make it happen.
Yes.
I'm like, no.
He thinks he's Andre Dawson that can, you know, take a short hop off the right field corner and throw the guy out at third. Because I've seen it done.
And to this day,
yeah.
I don't think he has the arm of Dawson.
You know, he does not have the arm of Dawson.
Even Dave Parker, man.
Andre Dawson had his arm. I mean, that guy.
And, you know what? So does Vladimir Guerrero.
You know me. I love Big Daddy
Blanchard. But Dawson, yeah.
Yes, Dawson was.
Dawson was a gunner. He was a sniper. I think he was an effing howitzer.
and the play that I'm talking about is it was Steve Sachs. Who was a very fast runner, you know, in his day, for being a white boy? He could run.
Brian, we are sensitive.
He could run. And I believe he was on first. And there was, I think, Kenny Landro or one of those guys hit one off the right field wall. Dawson played it perfectly, knew it was going over his head. Yep, exactly. And he played it. It hit the wall, took one bounce, and he grabbed it. And as he grabbed it in one motion, went from the glove to the hand, and he threw it from the corner of right field, straight shot, into third base and nailed Steve Sachs. I mean, it wasn't even a close call.
And the look on Steve Sachs was, where the hell the ball comes
exactly.
from.
Exactly. And Dawson.
And you beat.
And yeah, and Dawson was like, that's right. Try it again. And you're going to get the same result. Dawson had a cannon on him.
You know, that was the one good thing that I had, but I don't have the size for middle infielder because I'm too tall, but I had that transition down. The ball coming in and transitioning,
That's something that's just in you. But anyway, back to Puig. Puig is very infectious. He's going to be probably a great player, you know, in baseball in a few years when he learns these little subtleties. If he continues playing the way he is.
Yeah, English.
I don't know if he's, you know.
Oh, you said the subtlety. I said learn English.
And, of course, this one will piss Sporky Pro. I don't know if he's a future Hall of Famer yet or not.
Bio built up so fast.
And he thinks he's one of the Andre Dawsons of the world, but. Or the Vladimir Guerreros of the world.
Actually, there are a lot of Vladimir Guerreros in the world. They all stepped back on the island.
Vladdy was special. I really enjoyed his time with the Angels.
I was disappointed because they.
When they traded him away, I was so disappointed.
They let him go.
And then he had that
monster year.
The following year with the Pittsburgh.
He wasn't done yet.
Yep.
But the reality.
Comeback player of the year, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe so too. But you know what? It proved that the Angels actually made the right decision. They really did.
Now, in your opinion, if you were general manager of a team.
He was done shortly thereafter.
Yeah. If you were general manager of a team.
Right, right.
No. The question was going to be, would you rather, and it's philosophical, I mean, it'd be your what your personal feelings are.
So would it be my forte?
No, not quite your forte. Just as
you said philosophical. Are you saying that I'm not philosophical?
Anyway.
I am not a man of the people?
Would you rather,
saying that I am a man of the people?
Would you rather get rid of the guy a year too early or a year too late? That's what I'm saying. That was
okay. You'll never, ever win on that one. You'll never, ever win.
Yeah. That is
but. True. I can only say that the Angels made the right decision in hindsight. But that last year hurt because it was a monster year.
He was like 336.
And he beat up the whole league. And you're like, that guy was with us.
But
he'd already been hurt for the year, year and a half.
About a year and a half.
You get tired of it.
And I think what it was, too, is I think that comeback season was also to the Angels. You know, guys.
Insofar as believing that I can still do it.
Yeah.
But that was directed at everyone, that I can still play.
Yeah.
But, again, the Angels did it right because he only went after that. The next year was okay. And by then, the year after that, he was...
He was done, and the year after that, he retired. So...
Which was...
Just a couple of years ago.
Just like now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Bummer. Yeah. Well, anyway, so the Cardinals, of course, took the Dodgers 14-2.
I've never seen a pitch that I haven't liked yet, Guerrero.
Yep.
And he did hit one that bounced.
Yes, he but you know the thing was, I mean, he may have struck out a lot.
Oh, yeah. No.
I said it, I was like, well, you know, he didn't.
No.
No, he didn't.
He was
a very good eye.
Priceless hitter.
Because he always hit like in 300.
I don't think he ever struck out on
no,
the
No, he did. Yeah, no, he did. Yeah, he did.
but
he was no Adam Dunn.
So are you saying that this conversation is now done?
Adam Dunn, oh, my God, it's pathetic.
I think what Adam Dunn did in 1 year, if I took Vlade, probably about 5 or 6 years to strike out.
Well, let's just say what Adam
Four
Dunn
years.
Did.
4 years
now.
Anyway,
he was, dude.
Yeah.
See, the thing that Vladimir didn't have was he didn't walk.
Yes, yes.
But
the ball was always in play with Vladdy.
And you couldn't, you know, the get me over strike was just as legitimate as the 0-2 curveball in the dirt.
Yep.
He was going for all of them.
But the thing is, a lot of time he connected, though, and boy, those balls, There were a lot of fans in the outfield.
I didn't want.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
I wanted him as a Yankee.
And he was a very, he was a decent outfielder. Would you?
Oh, yeah.
And in his later years, of course, switched over to DH.
I wanted him as a Yankee.
You, you would have loved to have him as a Yankee?
Oh, my God. Kidding me? Yeah, that's a joke, right? Vladimir Guerrero left in 2009, last season.
Oh, wow, 4 years
already. He never struck out. Big dog, I was right. He never struck out 100 times a season.
Really?
And,
wow.
And
watch this. He had 3, 39, 95, 62, 74, 88, 70, 53, 74. First year with the Angels. 48, 68, 62, 77, 56, 60, and 56.
And this is a guy that during
the he hit 318 for his career. 449 home runs, 1496 RBIs. Ladies and gentlemen, since he has now left the game, Vladdy, 449. Ladies and gentlemen, no. Vladimir Guerrero is a Hall of Famer, in my humble opinion.
First year?
No.
I think
I know they're going to be a couple of
years
in. Who
fucking
did that shit their first year or not?
Well, that's now the thing. Oh, I got in
the
first year.
That's the Twitter generation. The twat generation.
There's people that you know are going to be first year inductees.
That just means that the agreement of the stupid body,
Derek
Jeter, writers,
Derek Jeter, you know, the first.
Look. He is not retired, so I will not have that conversation. Mariano Rivera, I will. Mariano Rivera.
He should be a first ballot.
Oh, I don't know if he's first ballot, but.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, that's either here or there. How can How can the greatest closer of all time? I have no problem saying that.
Mariano Rivera is a Hall of Famer.
Is he the greatest closer of all time?
I'm sorry. I never would have said that before. Now I do because the game is over.
Yeah, now you can analyze it.
It's done. And people who have nothing else to talk about, who see girls walk by and they get a little woody because they're never going to talk to them, you know, they're the ones that talk about who's the best, who's the worst, who's this, who's that. And, I mean, these idiots at Bleacher Report are already discussing the free agents for all the teams and the season's not even over yet. Pendejos.
Speaking of, just really quick, and we'll touch on this possibly later.
That was Spanish for stupid.
About
idiot.
About, you know, the people.
At
Bleacher
Report? There
are no. Just in general. Guys, you need to quit poking the bear.
Oh, I think I know what he's talking about.
You pick the Lakers or ESPN in their supposed infinite wisdom. Pick the Lakers 19th out of 30 teams. And Kobe had one thing to say. 19th. Now you really want to poke the bear since he's coming back and he said he's going to come back stronger than before. But he's not sure. So
well,
what do you guys do?
The only way we know is we have to ask his wife about it.
You guys poke the sleeping bear.
Don't poke the bear.
And he's already slightly awake and now you're jostling him. And you picked Kobe Bryant, probably one of the best finishers of all time. You know, one of the best. You picked him, even though he scored 27-point-something points last year, only really missed about 7 games the last 4 because of Achilles injury. You picked him as the 30th best player in the NBA. You guys really want to poke the effing bear that badly?
Wait a minute.
They
30?
Yes.
Is that the top 30? Number 30?
They did the top 500 players, you know, in the NBA. They picked Kobe 30th.
They're saying that they're
29th. I came back. I'm sorry. They picked Gasol 30th. Kobe was 27th or 26th.
So they're saying that there's 25
better players than him. Yes. Yeah, exactly. So you're poking the effing bear, guys. You know, and if I'm not mistaken, there was also another report out there. I can't remember who it was by. And they picked the Lakers, I think, 22nd in the league out of 30 teams. So, you guys keep poking the bear. See what's going to happen.
This is what I won't give rankings.
What are their predictions, supposedly?
But I don't do the predictions either. Because, number one, it's the very high stupidity.
Yeah, but, I mean, to pick...
Oh, I will rub it in Cuervo's face.
To pick Kobe 25th, though?
Yeah. I can say...
That's so much.
Oh, Brian and I got it right. East and West got it right, North and South,
Lewis, Cuervo and Couch Potato said that Indianapolis was going to win on Monday night, and Brian and I said the Chargers were going to win. And when Cuervo and I did the game, I told Cuervo, I said, Cuervo, all of your arguments are 100% right on, but for some reason, yeah, I got that feeling.
It was a really good game.
It feels right that there's going to be an upset.
Big game.
19-9, right?
Uh-huh. And of course now what does he do? He brings his the former quarterback is playing the current quarterback. Because now it'll be Denver versus Indy. That should be a hell of a game. You know, Andrew Luck, he tried to make that comeback. It didn't happen. You know, Luck's ran out.
Yeah, Marshall Luck. That's who he is. He's Marshall Luck. Oh, Marshall Dillon, man. It fits. He's Marshall Luck. Versus Sheriff.
Yeah, but the Sheriff's coming to town now, or you're going to the Sheriff's town. So, you know, Sheriff versus Marshall? Sheriff's going to win on this one. Sorry. it should be a fun game. But, hey, we'll get to football later, guys, and we'll get to basketball later.
Marshall supposedly is above the Sheriff.
Hmm? Yeah, we'll see in this case whether it's true or not. But anyways, back to baseball, guys. As I said, the Dodgers lost to the Cardinals in 6 games. Very valiant effort by them. They were just outplayed. Yep. You know, you lost with your main guy on the field, which is what you want. You know, it was a knockout punch. I mean, they just got to Kershaw, and he got frustrated. You could see it in his eyes, in his mannerisms, in his pitching. You know, the couple of calls that should have possibly went his way, you know, on some of those close calls right on the corner of the plate that didn't, and it angered him. And it just got the best of him. I mean, it just snowballed, which it usually does. But so the National League side is set. You have the St. Louis Cardinals who are going back to the World Series just 2 years after taking it all 2 years ago.
The Giants and the Cardinals. Giants and the Cardinals.
This year, the American League side could be decided as soon as today. It will be decided by tomorrow, but it could be decided as soon as today as the Detroit Tigers try to even it up against the hated Boston Red Sox.
Mr. Big Dog, I want to thank you for that great anal assist. That was very well done.
The game will be tonight at 5 o'clock Pacific time on Fox. Game 7, if necessary, will be tomorrow on Sunday at 5 o'clock again on Fox. Your prediction, do you see that?
So, in other words, do you want to watch Fox or do you want to visit 4321 Michigan Avenue and get all my Maxim magazines? I actually have a lot of Fortune magazines, too. I dump those, and I also dump my, I dumped my sports.
Your swimsuit issues?
Yeah.
I might have to hit you.
They're still there. I dumped 2 issues.
Anyway.
2012 and 2010 and 2009, that's 3.
So Kate Upton, you got rid of Kate Upton?
That's a real good one on the light blue. Yeah.
Sorry. As I said, Boston leads this one. Scorekeeper, do you see Boston closing them out today?
I do now. Because after you beat Verlander, after the game that he pitched, that's a bummer. That's a bummer.
They have
Scherzer coming back up.
If it is indeed Boston versus the Cardinals, who do you see in that one?
Well, this is not 2004. This is a rematch now.
Yes, for those who don't know, the American League is hosting this year, so the American League will have 4 games in their
home. Yes, because it matters.
Yeah. So, who do you see in this one?
Well, I don't know if I see anything picked out. But my favorite would be actually.
So, Roto Rob, what's up, Coach?
What? Roto Rob? Well, I mean, Roto Radio. Sorry, I hadn't checked the chat room as well. Roto Radio. That could be Lenny.
That's what Cop Potato says.
Yeah, because his ears were ringing this morning. Yeah, I talked about you this morning, Lenny.
Good morning. So Boston Cardinals.
I like the Cardinals.
Okay.
Over Boston.
Now, if it was
because I was brought back to reality based on what you told me, how the hell could I ever have been sympathetic to Boston? How?
Now, on the flip side,
I mean, I'm bigger than that. Oh, sorry, Lenny. Hey, but I hate Boston. I don't hate Boston. I have nothing for them.
Now, if a miracle happens and Detroit wins it all. Detroit wins the American League.
I wouldn't refer to that as a miracle, lad.
Well, they got to win two in Boston. You know, it's harder than
the Royals.
It's harder than usual. I mean, that's not the norm.
Harder than usual. Are we still talking baseball?
Possibly.
Fair enough.
Detroit Cardinals. Who do you see that one then? Oh,
I think I might favor Detroit on that one. Yeah. Because I think they have pitching to go with them, and they have better hitting. Because I think Detroit is more of a heavyweight. Remember the way I described the series that Boston and the Cardinals, or Boston and the Tigers were the two big heavyweights, and it actually hasn't been a heavyweight. Oh, what? You're laughing at some of the comments. I have to watch the switchboard. No, go ahead.
I don't want to.
All right, well, anyway, I would like Detroit. Ah, yes, Lenny. Poor Lenny. He has no choice. And you know what, Lenny? I bow to you.
That's what I want to read.
Yeah, I bow to you because you have no choice. Yeah, that's cool. Good for you, man. She's got to be happy from time to time. Oh, I mean, in addition to Boston winning. Oops.
So Kershaw should be Cy Young Award winner.
He is the Cy Young Award winner. The numbers are... Now, scorekeeper has already declared he is a Cy Young Award winner.
Now, will he
That's
get,
all that matters.
How do you think he'll do in the MVP race? Pretty sure his name will... I know you don't...
Dude, he
I know
wasn't that good.
Okay.
He was phenomenal, but he wasn't that good. He only pitched 31 games.
Okay.
Oh, my God, I have money in my account? Well, no, it's because, you know, on the new phone...
Yeah.
They come out with the banner notices, and they say, wow, actually I have money. I think we're only going to do 2 hours, big dog. I think we're going to go on.
And, of course, in other baseball news.
There's more?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we already said Averoy has been put off now. It's going to be continued in November.
In real news.
Fair enough.
Mr. Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
Is
geriatric Nolan Ryan.
And a surprise to me. I don't know if it was a surprise to you. I know
there were issues last year.
Yes, it was very tumultuous.
Year
with the Rangers and Mr. Ryan.
Yeah, he's leaving on his terms.
Yes. Well, it's funny because the Rangers
are assholes. Apparently,
the Rangers put out
ownership group.
Yes, put out a statement saying that he was, they made it sound like they were getting rid of him in a statement. Where then he released a statement later on and did an interview saying, no, I'm resigning.
You're going to resign as CEO of a team that you helped purchase. Yeah. Yeah, they got rid of him. There was a boardroom coup.
They
tried to do that last year.
Yes, they did. And he was able to stave off that. But
Don, you're using big words.
And the Texas Rangers let him, I guess, give the statement to make it seem like as if he was leaving. He said that he doesn't know what will his entail the rest of his career. He doesn't see himself, I guess, as CEO of any other team, he said. But, of course, his son is general manager, I believe. Of the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
One of his other former teams. So
they might bring him over.
So
special counsel,
a consultant, advice. Something like that. You know, the little Jerry West thing on the side. You know, but he for the years that he's been there, I mean, he, you know, you'd have to give him a nod to a lot of the success of the Texas Rangers over the last 5-6 years. I mean, he was there, maybe not a CEO, but I mean, he was up in the, you know, in the catbird's nest.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do you see his time as a Texas Ranger, you know, in upper management?
And successful. The ownership group did well. They made him successful. And I hate using that word, successful. Oh, the illiteracy of the world of today that cannot use English appropriately, or just myself. The team did well. There we go. They really made Texas continue doing well. But obviously, there were some issues that they had in direction, and that's why Nolan was kicked out last year. And he survived, as you said, staved off the inevitable.
And now he's...
And it's his son, Reed, is president of the Houston Astros.
So named him son Reed?
So it's Reed Ryan.
Was that in effect to what he would tell the batters? Hey, dumbasses, Reed, you're bad. That's like, no, seriously, that's what you're supposed to do. When you go up to bat, every coach says, Reed, Reed. Because you have to look at the label and look at the bat and see if it's broken or not. Because some idiots have gone up there with splitter bats not knowing it.
Speaking of, did you see, was it Cabrera that broke his bat at home plate with one of those pitches from Kershaw?
Oh, yeah.
No, that was just frustration, right? Because he swung through it.
And I was like, bad day, but before I forget, this one is for Lenny. He's in the chat room, and I don't get a chance to always hear this, but I'm not going to listen. I mean, I should, but this is for Lenny. Lenny, listen closely, because it's not one of the best recordings. It runs about 21 seconds.
And now, manager of the pitches, former six-time National League home run champ, Jimmy Dugan.
Oh my God, because I believe Lenny did see Jimmy Dugan play, which we all know his name was Jimmy Fox, but that's all good. I love it. I love to shine Lenny every now and then because, quite frankly, if he ever gets fed up with me, he'll just go home and have a good time.
So if he ever gets tired of you, then he'll shine on you?
I'm going to wonder about that use right there. I'm not going to shy away from it just yet, but I'm going to have to evaluate how you use that. But I do want to welcome the couch potato because apparently we don't have a couch potato intro. Oh, wait, oh, yeah, I do. Sorry, forgive me. Forgive me for being...
Oh, no, yo.
Shut up.
I was about to say, there's no intro.
Shut up.
Well, you know, if you don't have it, he'll sing it.
No, oh, hell no. I'd rather play it. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We're bringing him on right now. Shut up! Shut up!
His name is Couch. Potato's in the house this morning. Oh yeah, he is the hardest working man in sports.
Hard and hard and hard and hard. Hi, working man, yes I am. Good day, gentlemen. Good morning. I just rolled out of bed. Oh my God, too many drugs last night to clear out a headache, and boy, before I knew it, I woke up at 8:40. I was like, holy smoke, I don't usually sleep that late ever. So
yeah,
you
know, Sonny, that if you and I would have been able to, like, try to board a plane yesterday, both you and I probably would have activated the Homeland Security chemical biological alert problem with all the drugs that we had in us yesterday, huh? All the dogs would have gone late crazy, huh, Sonny?
Let's just say we would have been suspended for about 4 or 5 games. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, we would have been level one offenders, ladies and gentlemen, as per
that's
the
right. Hey, but I would have been smart, and I would have let Major League Baseball know that I was on the drugs.
Well,
so,
that's what I mean. We're level one offenders. Everyone knows what we're on, and we have prescription medications from a legitimate source.
That's right.
Yes,
not from the guy that goes, buddy.
Oh, okay. Big Dog is distracted. Something came up. He's really dancing away with his fingers on the keypad right now.
Uh-oh.
So, but he keeps like nodding no, like shut up, leave me alone. So what's going on?
Well,
Big Dog?
I got a question for you. As I was listening this morning, and I might have came in partial. I might have came in partial, but I thought you said Clayton Kershaw is the Cy Young winner.
Well, we predicted that he should win Cy Young.
Well, thank you for that, Big Dog, for staying with my Mr. Clark, I have deigned him worthy to win the Cy Young Award. That's
so
all
that's
that matters.
Good enough then, right?
That's right.
His numbers
okay.
are so
I got it. I just wanted to make sure because I wouldn't want to say that he is a Cy Young winner without him actually winning it, because if he doesn't win it whenever that voting takes place, my question is he a Cy Young award winner? I mean, now granted, I know it's not at the level of Hall of Famer, but I mean, you know, we shouldn't label these guys until they've actually won the award, would you say?
Oh, my gosh, you are so full of shit. Oh, God. You are so full of shit. You are.
Anyway, good morning. How are you? How is everybody this morning?
Sonny Clark, you are the most hypocritical, stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerd herder. Oh, my God.
And that's what my wife calls me, too, so why are you any different?
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that she and I were Empire Strikes Back fans. Scorekeeper, do you know Mr. Kershaw's nickname?
I don't give a damn. What?
The Claw.
He's called the Claw?
You see, now that's kind of cool, but because it's not, you know, like these idiots, they go, Clady or Clanton or something.
He's a big boy. You see, this
three. But that's kind of cool. They call him the Claw.
Three.
And you see, now that's a cool nickname because...
25 years old.
Yeah, I was telling that. My wife is noticing that.
Oh, God, no.
Mr. Cappuccino Dairy.
Oh, no. He
was born in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. I'll put a white sheet on my head.
Man, that's
with
too
line.
Bad.
Oh, my God. Brian just told me something. Shut up. I'm God here. Lenny.
You're Lord.
I'm Lord. Yeah, you're right. But Lenny is the, remember? I might even have
Lenny's
a spy. He's the godfather. But remember he said something about being... Like a janitor or something. Remember that story about him? Maybe a janitor could be God. Lady, do you remember that story? Call in and tell us. I swear to God, I think I have it recorded still. That file was so funny. I'm gonna look for it. Anyway, Sonny Clark, you hypocritical, stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerd herder.
And the love keeps coming.
Well, the love kept coming because you hypocritical SOB. Let's not put labels on people. Let's not do it. I mean,
we wouldn't want to do that.
You always do that. And ladies and gentlemen.
Well, no, I always do it, but the scorekeeper doesn't. So I was actually shocked that I was hearing that this morning. I was like, wait a second. I don't think Kershaw won it. So what? So what is
he
saying?
Mr. Couch Potato, here's the thing. Everyone now knows, I've done it for 3 years now, that on the last day of the season, usually a Sunday or whenever the season ends, at the last day of the season, 5 p.m. or... Thank you. At 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. Pacific time, I give my picks. And that's... And I set it up. I invite people to give their picks, too. You all know... It's special invitation. In other words, whoever else wants to show up, you give me your picks, but I give my picks. And I declared that Kershaw was...
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. I chose this one. I've got to give him the proper intro, ladies and gentlemen. Sonny, you know who's calling, but I got to find it. Got to give him some love, because we haven't done this one in a while. And he'll come in a moment. Here we go.
No, I haven't called.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. He is the godfather of fantasy sports, and that's not the name that his cohort gave him, but he is still the fantasy man. He is in Baseball Hall of Fame. He is our man. He is the man of steel. He is Lenny Melnick!
Now, I haven't called a Cardinal game in years, since the days of Julian Javier, but Sonny Clark, you come in and you say, holy smoke, it's really holy cow. So, Just want you to know that.
I love it.
And why can't it be? I'm going to expose something right now for the first time for all my fans.
Oh, please don't.
From the belt, from the waist, from the hips, here it comes. Sonny Clark is God.
Oh, thank you.
That's right.
Thank you.
Sonny Clark.
Everybody else would understand that.
Yes. Well, in reference to what you were saying, Roger, there was a Broadway show called Steam Bath with Freddie Prinze in the lead. And Freddie Prinze, yeah, he portrayed a janitor in a steam room and in Greenwich Village, a gay steam room. And Freddie Prinze walks in with a bucket and all kinds of bells and whistles on the bucket. He takes out his mop, and he starts dictating what's going to happen around the earth. He calls an earthquake in Chile. This is as he's mopping the floor, you know. And he expresses his regrets on some of the things he has to do, but after all, he's God, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So that's what that was all about. So... why can't Sonny Clark be God?
Oh, Sonny.
So I keep telling everybody.
You are our resident environmental engineer.
Yes.
Otherwise,
well, speaking of the environment, I got another one for you, okay? Because there's something that's bugging me, all right? And it's all over the New York airwaves. I'm not sure if you're getting quite as much of this on the West Coast. I don't really know why you wouldn't. But such a call to change the name of the Washington Redskins. I don't know what they're going to change it to, but are you guys offended in any way? Do you think that's an offensive thing to change the name of the Washington Redskins? I mean, look, we have Italian bread. We got French bread. We got Hebrew National salamis. I mean, I don't get it.
Mr. Lenny Melnick, as always,
there's other names we could call Italian bread. You know, we could call Hebrew National something else. I'm not going to say it on the air. But I got to tell you, I don't get it. I
don't get it either.
I mean, I really do, I guess, if they want to be something. But how come? Why is it? There's a newspaper in Virginia now that refuses to include the name Redskins in their coverage of the team. They're just calling them Washington now. But I got to ask you something. There is something that I can't believe the Native Indians does not. It's just crazy. Now, first of all, do you remember the Atlanta Braves had Chief Nakahoma?
Oh yeah, I remember
out
that.
Out in left field, he had a little teepee out there, a little tent, whatever they had, and every time a Brave hit a home run, he'd come out of the teepee, do a little dance, and then go back in. Now, that was removed years ago, right? But still, as I'm getting my blood boiling with all this crap, how could it not be offensive to have the Atlanta Brave fans sit in the stands, cheer for the Braves with a tomahawk chop, chanting, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. It sounds like a rabbi on Saturday morning. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah, I can't figure out, is it a Jewish Indian? I don't know, all right? But they're going, hey, and they got the tomahawk chop going. To me, that's offensive. What do you think?
Do you know what's offensive? As the big dog just said right now, you sound like Mel Brooks.
I sound like Mel Brooks. Well, I got to tell you something. I don't only sound like Mel Brooks, but I sound like Jackie Mason.
Well done. Lenny,
I'm the real Jackie Mason. Don't insult me. You want to insult me by calling me a Jewish guy?
That was good.
Oh, my God.
Lenny, honestly,
go on the road, man. I'm telling you.
The Chief Nakahoma theme probably was offensive. That really was. But
yeah.
Now, also, Lenny, remember, for the longest time, the Braves were nothing. And then when they started winning, all of a sudden they became offensive. Remember that?
Oh, sure, yeah. Chief Nakahoma. But they still got, I don't know. You know what I'm talking about when everybody starts to chant and they do
mm-hmm.
How does nobody complain about that? Yeah, I really don't get it, but that's the way it is. And listen, I'm just having fun listening to you and Couch and everybody, Quavo, everybody, who's ever there. I don't even know who's there, but all you guys do is have some fun, and I'm really enjoying listening to you guys. So,
Well, thanks for that, Andy. But, you know, I want to go back to the Redskins.
Yeah, he's a big dog, by the way.
It's fine. I
don't have a script. So.
They took a national survey, I guess, of all the Indians and on the reservation and stuff.
Yes.
And something about the fact that of anybody that has, you know, American Indian heritage in them, less than 10% find it offensive. So
yep.
More than 90% of the Indians, American Indians in the United States, don't care. They don't care. So who?
Of course they don't care. I got something else here. Now, how many of you guys are wrestling fans? How many of you guys are wrestling fans?
Definitely.
So do you go back to the days of Chief J. Strongbow and all the Indian guys?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. What happened to the Indian wrestlers? I don't see any more Indians wrestling.
Well, that's something called within wrestling. They're kind of taking the gimmicks out of it. But at the same time, they still have a couple of people that have the gimmicks.
Right.
But they're trying to take the gimmicks out of it, which I thought that was the artistic part of it.
I thought that's what wrestling was, a gimmick.
Exactly, you know. But they're trying to make changes within that. So seeing the guy.
And they eliminate the Indians first?
Oh,
there's no Indians. At least you get one. I used to love the Indians come in there, you know, and they do their little dance in the ring. After throwing the guy against the ropes, he comes off. They give him a tomahawk chop. They dance around him, and that's it. You know, that's going on for 30 years like that.
Exactly.
So you don't eliminate the Indians. If I was an Indian, I'd be upset about that. Why eliminate? They still got Italians. They still got the Russians. They still got all the other guys. I don't get it. So anyway, listen, I just want to tell you guys I love you all. And now I got to get back to work. I got things to do, like listening to your show and stealing your material.
Yeah, there you go.
No,
everybody's just so sensitive nowadays. That's the problem with the Redskin thing and the whole. They're just a little too sensitive. You can't teach. But you know that's nowadays. That's
Lenny,
because
I think it's
we
just
raised
they
our
really
kids to be a bunch of wimps.
They just have nothing. But I do want to thank Lenny Melnick. Lenny, by the way, just for what it's worth, in 2008, on November 8th, which was our second program, or, well, everyone will consider our first program of Sports Talk with the Guys, Lenny Melnick called in on November 8th,
gracious with his presence.
2008, he graces with his presence, and we have known Lenny Melnick ever since. Lenny, we're going on 5 years, pal, come November 8th. Sorry, dude.
And of course, you know, on the rare occasions that we do meet, you know, I think it was once or maybe I think it's just once. It's been a pleasure, but we got to do a show together somewhere out in Las Vegas or something. You guys, I'd love for you to set it up. Let's do some kind of a show. As a matter of fact, if you really wanted to do something great, and we can do this on BTR, we can do a radiothon, if you'd like, for charity.
Mm-hmm.
And make it, you know, you guys, the whole thing, I'll participate, I'm sure Couch will, and we'll do a 24-hour charity situation where, you know, people can donate their money and we'll stay on for 24 hours.
Wow. Well, you know, that would
think
have
about
to
it.
Take Blog Talk Radio from actually giving a rat's ass about doing something like that.
I've done it already on Blog Talk. They'll do it.
Oh, yeah,
I know,
yeah.
But they got they're under new management now. So
yeah, okay, well. Yeah, I mean, who needs good publicity?
Hey,
nobody.
You know, exactly.
Anyway, thanks
way,
a lot for having me on, guys.
Thank you, Lenny. Lenny, we are going to be traveling to Oregon next year around this time to catch a football game. The Oregon Ducks, it's about the same time next year, so we'll let you know. But I understand the Couch Potato is trying to set something up in Vegas. So
I am still trying to do it, actively doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be great. By the way, wait till you see the Oregon uniforms this weekend. They have their helmets are shocking pink, totally. Not just a little dot or something. It's their helmets are entirely pink. Their socks are entirely shocking pink, and the rest of the uniform is black. It's going to be arguably one of the best uniform combinations you'll ever see.
Oh, wonderful!
Yes. So, on that note, have fun, guys.
Awful pretty.
Thank you, Lenny. That is the great Lenny Melnick out of New York. As I mentioned, he did introduce a Hall of Famer. His recording is in the Hall of Fame, which is absolutely awesome. And
I think it's wonderful that he introduces me all the time.
Oh, yeah, he introduces you too as well. So we do want to welcome everyone who, both live and in the archive. Want to welcome our guests in the chat room. Of course, we have Laker fan Matt Alvarez, Michael Bonner, of course, the aforementioned Roto Radio, and, of course, the Couch Potato. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a good time. And, well, I said the guests, but I just don't mention the numbers because I know you do. I know you do, but you see, I'd rather say guests because it doesn't allude to the actual number, because if we were to mention all the guests, we'd always be giving up, welcome to everyone in the chat room, guest 113. That's it. Who has to want to do that? So we just, oh, welcome to all the guests. I either mention them by name or I say guests. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to follow all the stuff going on with NDB Media, head on over to our twitter.com/NDB Media, ndbmedia.net. You can find us on Facebook at NDB Media. No one does better here on Saturday morning. Of course, we are Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. We wake you up, and immediately following us is the Couch Potato, the hardest working man in sports. We wake you up. It'll bring you home, baby. There is nothing like the 4 hours of sports on a Saturday morning.
We've been doing 5 hours lately.
Yeah, we've been doing, well, we have. I don't know about you.
Well, you, yeah, you have. I guess I should probably say you have been doing 5 hours, yeah.
And of course,
well, we lied. Last week we only did 4.5.
This is going back to Couch Potato, you know, since you called Kershaw the Cy Young Award winner before, it actually has been a...
Hey, guys, I gave my picks for Cy Young Award winner. Well, it's Clayton Kershaw, hands down.
Yeah, but you put it down. Today, you really came out and said that he is... I mean, today was like that stance. I mean, that stance of saying he definitely is the winner. Sort of like some of us when we have said about, you know, certain players, Ben Roethlisberger as a future Hall of Famer. And so it's one of those. I didn't know. I thought maybe I missed the pick, and I just wanted to get clarification this morning on Saturday morning.
Allow me to give you further clarification, Mr. Clark. The Major League Baseball awards are always after the season. The only time you get the immediate awards are usually after the game, such as player of the game, after the series, the divisional series, you're named the award winner, the championship series, and the World Series. They're immediate. Everything else is after the fact, which is a few weeks after the World Series. But, Sonny, once again, my awards are real. They're not based on popularity. They're not based on whether you kiss my Royal Heinie or not. It's based on skill and numbers. That's what I am. I'm the scorekeeper. That's what I do. I give a dispassionate opinion.
And here you go. Clayton Kershaw was 16-9 this year with an ERA of 1.83, which led the National League. I'm not sure.
And the American.
Okay. This is the third year in a row that he has led.
Yeah.
How come he didn't win last year?
I'm sorry?
How come he didn't win last year?
He came in second last year.
Who won it last year, I guess?
Good question. I don't remember.
That was last year. What have you done for me lately?
Anyways, he had 1.83 ERA, 236 innings pitched, gave up 48 earned runs, only 11 homers, only 52 walks. He struck out 232 batters, which led the league.
That's almost 5-1, folks.
And
almost.
Had a whip, which, of course, scorekeeper loves. The whip was 0.915. Once again, third time leading the league.
Yeah. Oh, Matt Alvarez says, wow, Roger. Yeah, I've been getting a lot of that lately, Matt, where I'm being told, wow, Roger.
Wow.
So thank you, Matt. I never thought I would hear it from you, Matt. So, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Alvarez is in the chat room.
I haven't listened to his show yet today. I haven't watched. I want to watch Impact before I listen to his show.
Oh, yeah. Big Dog just asked me, what is ERA Plus? Do you know what ERA Plus is?
No. That's what I'm asking.
That number is invented.
If I didn't know, I wouldn't ask you. That's why I said, what is ERA Plus?
That number is invented.
by the stupid little jerks that don't have boyfriends or girlfriends that are in their mama's basement and spend more time screwing their computers than they will ever another person. They just come up with all these stupid numbers that are immaterial and worthless. ERA plus has something to do with you take ballparks into consideration and you, I tell you, it is the deep, wet dream. Pathetic. It's pathetic. Guys, ERA, WHIP, which used to be called ORA, as I went on to explain in the prior episode, it used to be ORA. That's why I accept WHIP. Because the WHIP number has been around since the early 80s. It is a legitimate statistic that they've been following forever. But all this war crap, all this other stuff, I mean, these are the same nerds that got beat up in the game called War, or we used to call Dodgeball. You know, those losers, they're the same ones that say, well, I'm going to take control of that name and show them how to use it to win.
They don't do Dodgeball anymore.
They don't do Dodgeball anymore?
No.
Oh, that's right, because you have to have a winner in Dodgeball. Oh, my God.
And
they got rid of Dodgeball.
They got rid of Dodgeball. And also, certain people get picked on in Dodgeball, so they don't want to, you know, bring their demeanor down. They don't want to get all into the, you know.
Considered bullying.
Oh, my God. If I were the athletic director in high school, I probably would have been fired 5 minutes in. Because the word cowards and pussies would come flying out of my mouth quicker than you could say, oh, rise, there's a code. Shut up. Oh, God.
It's considered bullying.
Dodgeball is considered bullying?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm a bullying expert. I know what goes on in it. And that's what's going on.
Are you used to bully people? Oh, my Lord. All right, here you go for all of you religious people again. Figure it out. Eli, lava sabatani. If you guys can figure that out, you have my respect. If you can't, well, you don't have my respect.
I'm going to save everybody a lot of time. I know what it means. It means, holy shit, can everybody get a life?
You were right.
I told you. I mean, I'm a genius over here.
Mr. Cast Potato, I will grant you that interpretation.
There you go.
That was well done, Cash Potato.
I can do that on your show, so there you go.
Yeah, we had to watch our language on your show.
I got to watch what I say on my show.
Well, the funny thing is, Cash Potato I told the big dog this morning, I said, yeah, Sonny actually listened to our programs, the ones where we went over.
Yeah, I did, actually.
And the first thing that big dog said was, oh,
did he revoke our status?
Did he revoke our status? Did he take away the keys?
No. In fact, you can do the show whenever you want. I'll tell you the reason why. It's really simple.
We cannot do it,
I can care less if you're on target with your stats. I can care less if you're right or wrong about your sports opinion. But if you can't go up on my show and have a good time, then I don't want you doing it. And that was the difference between – I mean, you may have been wrong in a lot of places, but the fact of the matter is – that was a good show because you guys were having fun. And as simple as that. That's what makes my day.
What would that be? And Cash Potato, thank you. Thank you for that, Cash Potato. But I am now up in arms. You know, this is a weekly up in arms segment, I suppose, or the hourly segment. You guys should hear my show from 2 weeks ago where the state of Kentucky has banned junior in high school from longer shaking hands after games. Yeah, sorry, Matt. I was going after you. Actually, reverse the E and the U, Matt, because you're acting like people from...
Well, that's why you say it.
Oh, he was saying it like there. Okay, Matt, I apologize. Kentucky. Okay, that's fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, the inventors of the toothbrush, we all know that.
I was going to say, you know, we should get Couch's opinion on it, since he is well-traveled and has lived in many states.
I
have.
Lived in Alaska.
Lots of times. Couch, what do you think about that? That they banned shaking hands after games in junior and high school games?
That's so stupid.
No, and I'm going to tell you I just came from a junior high. This happened just this past Monday. Okay, This is what happened last Monday. The parents from the other team decided that they were going to come in the bleachers of the other team, okay, and start and rile up and everything. And when they mentioned, if you don't watch it, I'm going to call my homie, Sonny got up off of his chair and got his big fat ass out of there. Now, the reason why and I think the reasoning is really good. No one wants to do it. And I've listened to people go, well, you're not really a good, you know, being a good sport. Listen, when you lose a game, no one's interested in being a good sport if you're really into the game. And I will say this. There is probably only a fraction of the people of each and every game, okay, that would feel okay about really wanting to go shake the other team's hand. Wanting. And I think there's a difference between wanting to do it and feeling like you have to. And when you just get your butt handed to you, I don't care if it's on middle school, high school level or whatever, you just don't feel like, you know, being happy for somebody else or even shaking someone else's hand saying it's a good game. I think it's, you know, it's forced sportsmanship, and I don't think it should be done at all, frankly. I think they should just leave the football field after it's over. If some of them want to gather and shake hands afterwards, so be it. But making everybody do it, I have a problem with that. I also have a problem with, you know, when – in the NBA, it's lately been, you know, kind of big. These guys don't like losing. And forcing them to shake hands afterwards and stuff like that, I find it offensive that people find the fact that they don't do it offensive. You got to understand emotions of the game. And I think a lot of people miss that. And so I think it's a great idea. Leave those kids alone. Have them walk off the field without having to answer to that kind of stuff, especially if they're upset. Hey, it's a natural thing to be upset that you lose a game. Let them have that time, and then let them, if they decide to make a statement about it later or whatever the case may be, but on high school and middle age, it's just going to cause a problem, especially if something happened out on the football field and young people do not know how to control their emotions good enough for them to be able to stand up there and shake someone's hand.
Thank you.
What about the NFL? They do it every week in the NFL?
Every week.
No problem whatsoever.
None whatsoever. They do it in hockey. They don't do it in baseball because they congratulate themselves because of their inflated egos. But Sonny Clark.
The Cuts.
No, I'm talking to Sonny Clark. I'm not talking to Cuts Potato. Sonny Clark, you've got it wrong, pal.
I know,
and
I do.
I really believe, Cuts Potato, that you're on the wrong side on this one. Because remember, Sonny, that the point of shaking the hand after the game is what happened on the game
on the field.
Thank you, Big Dog. It is a gentleman's war. You leave it on the playing field. And that's the thing, Sonny. The handshake where you acknowledge your enemy, you look at them eye to eye, you are still a human being, you are a gentleman, you are an athlete, you're a professional, and you are eyeing your competitor. And you are making that connection with them, which just moments before you were mortal enemies on the field of combat. And now, the whole thing is, Sonny, that you leave it on the field. And once the game is over, it's over. And that's why the teams come together in acknowledgement of the combat that they just had. It's not whether you want to do it or not, Sonny. It's being an adult. Being, as Matt Alvarez says in the chat room, an issue of respect. You respect the guy that you beat 2-1, or you respect the guy that just handed you your ass 19-2. It's the point of doing it. It's a gentleman or a gentlewoman acknowledging that what happened was left on the field, and we are human beings, and we go on to the next round of combat. And taking that out, Sonny, is the very height, Sonny, we are returning to a barbaric, uncivilized society where you don't even face
your
enemy anymore.
What do you mean returning? We're already there.
Well, Sonny, but I mean, we are already there. But this even enforces it. This is the Facebook Twitter society where you don't even meet your enemy anymore. They are some inanimate object out there. This makes it human. I am so against it. In the same way that I'm against every stupid little kid getting a trophy after each and every game just because they showed up.
Oh, yeah.
God damn it, you got your butt kicked. Come back next year and kick their butt. That's the way it is.
But I got a trophy because I came in eighth.
I got a trophy and pizza because I came in eighth. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Sonny. I'm sorry. And I'm against you on this one, Sonny. They have to make that comeback because that's the difference, Sonny. You leave it on the field, and only pussies carried on after. Criminals, immature individuals.
Mature are the individuals, very much so.
And dangerous individuals. But coaches, they come together, and they acknowledge each other, even for the briefest of seconds in football games, and you know they hate each other, and yet they still. It's a rarity when they don't, and you know it's because they're just way beyond pissed off. And it happens, Sonny, but they still make contact.
Well,
sometimes it's so bad the coach will not acknowledge it, but how often does that happen?
I mean,
and Sonny, these are teams that hate each other in football, and yet they do it. So, Sonny, I appreciate your opinion.
Even the Lakers and the Celtics shake hands after.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
The coaches do anyway.
Yeah, you know, Sonny, that should be there. It has to be there. Shaking hands after. Actually, not even shaking hands. Just giving each other a high five.
Just acknowledging,
Sonny. I'm sorry, Sonny.
It's
not that. It's like I said, you're acknowledging the combat that just took place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done. And that's all it is. And you know, it also means, hey, we got out of here alive. No one got hurt. It was a well-played game. It was hard. Either we got our butts kicked or we beat you. But that's it. It's on the field. It's not an issue of sportsmanship, Sonny. It's an issue of people acknowledging that it's left on the field and you don't carry it on after. But, Sonny, don't get me wrong. I've had games where I had bench-clearing brawls, and I still, after the game, gave them the high five because I'm looking into their eyes saying, all right, asshole, I'm coming for you next game, but the game is over. Oh, yeah, Sonny, that's what it represents. And for them to remove that handshake, I'm disappointed, but... I'm sorry.
That's why it's closed. Okay.
Michael Bonner was in the chat room. Thanks, buddy, for being here in the chat room. Call in, pal. Give us your opinion either on this, our stupidity, our lack thereof, or whatever else. Or just comment in the chat room, pal. You've been here for a while. Let us know what you think. Sonny, come back on what you want to say, and I'm going to go to the big dog. Go ahead, Sonny.
Well, I get what you're saying because I'm 47 years old. I get exactly what you're saying. But here's one thing that I don't. Not that I don't get it, but you know, we sit here and we talk about this, but yet we still have baseball players throwing balls at each other. I mean, if you want to get past the elementary portion of this whole thing, you stop that part of it too. But yet, it's understood. It's an unwritten rule of baseball and all this other stuff, you know. I'm all for people being mad at each other. And here's the main thing: the great ones, they're not necessarily mad that they lost. You know, they're mad at their performance, or they are mad that they lost because of their performance. Whatever the case may be, but. As far as respect, you can respect someone on the other side of the field without shaking their hands. I mean, you can do that all day long. I mean, hell, we do it all day. It's not like everybody walks out of work like, you know, you did 8 hours of work, but we'll leave it at work and we'll walk off and shake hands. You know, you don't see that happening at work. Now, granted, it's not sportsmanship at work, but I get what you're saying, but I think you can respect people. But what I don't think we should expect, and because I think we expect way too much from kids, I really do. I think there are certain things that you can expect from kids, and certain things that you can't. And one of them is a kid controlling their emotions enough to where that's really understood why they're doing it. I'm not against it, okay? But if a child does not want to do it, okay, I don't think that anybody should hold it against them. And that's me, because I know right here I have a 10 and a 13-year-old, okay, and they fight every single day with their emotions. Okay, and for them to completely understand why they have those emotions, I think is sometimes over. I think you're pushing it too far for them. I think you're telling them that they have to understand something that they don't have a clue. I remember, and this is because I've had a revelation, but I remember playing in Little League, thinking to myself, why am I going to go shake hands with those guys? And although I get exactly what you're saying, I still didn't understand it. I know we make our kids do a lot of things that they don't understand. But at the heat of the passion, I understand kids. And what I understand is sometimes they can't control those kind of emotions. And the reason why they stop doing that is because sometimes those emotions are uncontrollable. You never know what's going to happen in a long line with everybody giving everybody five. And that's
okay,
the reason why they're doing that. They're taking a preventative situation and trying to make sure it does not escalate even further. Do I think it's right or wrong? I'll put it out there like this. I don't care, but I understand why they did it.
Sonny, I don't understand. And the big dog actually has some commentary. And Brian is also online with us. So I'm going to go to Brian in a moment. I want to hit Brian. I don't know if you heard or not, but Matt brought up something interesting that he talked about a week ago, in that over in Kentucky, they don't allow the kids to shake hands after the game. And in high school and junior high. So, but do they do it in little, tiny top school stuffy thingies? Do they do it then? Okay, anyway, here's your answer, big dog. I just wanted to preface Brian with that.
No, I mean, I see Sonny's side, that they're trying to prevent, a brawl that could possibly happen. But, that's taking away the sportsmanship. And when you were saying about, them not being able to control the emotions, well, that's what the coach is there for.
Yeah.
The coach is
I agree.
Team.
Well,
and if the kid gets out of hand or tries to start a fight or whatever, you tell him, say, you know what? I don't care if you're my start. I don't care if you're the best player. You're actually sitting down. Next week, you're not going to play. You control your emotions. This is the game. You win, you want them to shake your hand, but if you lose, you should be able to be man enough or woman enough to shake their hand saying,
or Caster Semenya,
just like scorekeeper said, today you got the best of me. Win or lose, you still should be shaking someone's hand afterwards.
Actually, I don't respect the opposition, Sonny. I respect the game.
That's what it comes down to with the game. You're taking away from the kids learning values. And their morals, that's where it begins, in the base.
If they learn to play nice, Sonny.
In junior high and high school, like the way you said, Sonny, you didn't understand it then, but you did it because your coach told it to you and instilled that in you. But the thing is, you learned why later on in life as you grew older. So that's the same thing. These kids learn that they may not understand it at the time. Just like you said, we as parents, I'm the same way, make our kids do stuff that they don't understand, but that later on in life, as they get older and more mature, they understand what we were trying to instill in them. That is the same thing on the field. You're teaching them. They may not understand why they're doing it, but later on they're going to get it. Hey, I'm being taught to respect my opponent. I may not like them. I may not like the team, but the fact is what we did on the field stays on the field, and it's over with. Shake your hands, you move on. But without them learning that in that early stages, they may never learn that in life, and they may have that combative attitude in life and in their regular jobs, whereas maybe early on they learn, hey, the respect, the morals, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's a stretch, yes, I know it's a stretch going from that, But that's where the kids learn the foundation is started at that time, when you learn stuff like that.
Okay, Brian, go ahead, pal. You've been on with us for a little while. You were the ultimate arbiter on some of these events. Do you think the teams, should they shake after a game? Or will you tell me?
Yeah, I do. I think it's not about your spoiled brats that you take to the game and they lose and they're crying and they're bad sports. Fuck it. Get over there and shake their hands. You lost. They beat you. You don't have to agree with them beating you. You don't have to like it. But it's all about the respect of the game. And I think if you tell your kids not to shake hands, then they have other issues somewhere. You need to resolve it. And I've seen it little leagues and high school. If you can't go shake someone's hand without fighting, then you need to check yourself. You don't need to be playing sports. These aren't professionals, I agree. They're not professionals, but this is ridiculous. Kids are coddled these days, and they're taught it's okay to be a dick if you lose. You know, it's okay now. You don't have to shake their hands. And it pisses me off to see that. If you can't control your emotions enough to shake someone's hand after a game, then stay the hell out of the sport. That's just the way I look at it.
I love you, Brian.
Oh, yeah. I actually, folks, here's what happened.
I've been bitch slapped. I'm telling you right now, I've been bitch slapped all over the place. This is great. And Sonny has to change his opinion on it because of, see, and this is the great thing about this show and the great thing about being able to debate. Good points can make you change your mind. You know, valid points can make you change your mind. Good, you know, good, well thought out, and not thinking about it in the big picture. Sometimes when an opinion can be thought of right away, but looking at the big picture, I am completely and utterly, totally wrong in this instance.
Sonny, okay, it's nice to know that we're on the same page. I think Matt is on with us too because he seemed pretty pissed about it in the chat room. Sonny, it's not whether it's right or wrong, because a lot of this is based on tradition too. I'm not going to water down this argument. I appreciate what Brian said. I appreciate what the Big Buck said. And I know the way I feel about it, Sonny. I was going to tell you, when a guy has to shake the hands of his opponent, it's just like when you learn or when you take diapers away from a kid. The kid doesn't understand why, but they have to learn. You can't piss in your pants forever. You have to grow up. And the same thing applies.
You're going to love it. It's a rudimentary observation.
Oh,
it's a rudimentary observation.
I see what you're saying. Brian, come back in, pal, because you haven't been here for a while.
But I understand everybody's point of view. I understand everybody's point of view because there's times in games where I've lost that if you said something smart to me as we're shaking hands, I could punch you or something. And I see everybody's point of view, but even kids should be able to control their emotions. I'm 36, and I still can't control mine. Hell, I've been at the DMV for 2.5 hours, and I almost killed somebody. So I'm 36 and still can't control my emotions.
Wow, 2.5 hours?
Hey, you should be made to shake hands with everybody in the DMV before you leave.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
Yeah. Oh, God. It was a terrible experience. It was a terrible experience, but it could have been a lot worse. But, God, I mean, these government workers are so slow.
As he says it to a government worker here on Sports Talk with the Guys.
And, ladies and gentlemen, the Big Dog has comments on that. I'm sorry, what was that, Big Dog?
Well, I was just going to say, we do have a resident professional about being government workers.
I acknowledge the misnomer of government and workers, or the non-sequitur, whatever the hell it is. So the oxymoron.
That's a Nazi moron. Yeah, there you go.
Right. Okay. Yeah, you would say the same thing. But hold on, Big Dog. What did you say about them being slow? What did you say?
I said, people from the South are slow.
Really?
They're from the South. They're slow.
Holy crap!
Sorry, Brian.
No, very, very, very slow.
Even Matt Alvarez, DMV? Oh hell no!
DMV, you know, has...
is the bane of our society.
Well, no,
that's actually a punishment. I mean, you can go to court and they say, your sentence is to spend a day at the DMV. God, no!
I want 3 years in jail, please.
Exactly. You know what I think when they interview people from DMV, if they show any sign of being somewhat normal paced, they don't get the job.
Oh, yeah.
God, you know what we ought to do, guys? We should do a live show from the DMV, and make everybody shake hands as they leave.
Oh, no.
Seriously, that'd be great. That would be great radio.
I will not go back to the damn DMV.
You know what's funny, though, is we can probably do a two-hour show, and what we would do is...
We'll have the same audience.
No. What I was going to say is when we get there, we'd start the show as we grab our ticket, and I'll put money down that we'll finish the show before we go up to the window.
You ever get to the DMV and get number 99 and they're on number 3? Oh.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way we would be. We'd be like, okay, folks, we've just done 2 hours and there's still 3 people ahead of us.
I still haven't gotten my address changed.
Yeah.
That's why we encourage you to do it online.
Pretty
soon they're going to close down. Pretty soon they're going to close down the DMV, so you know, so fights don't start. Sort of like Kentucky does with the handshake.
What?
No, you know what's funny though, guys, is the fact that you know the government's been shut down now for 2 weeks.
No, they're open now.
Well, no,
open back.
No, I know that, but I mean they were shut down for about 2 weeks.
It was actually 16 days.
Okay, so just over 2 weeks. But you know what? The same people were still at the DMV waiting in line. They didn't even notice that it was closed.
That's because those are state agencies. That's funny, though, Big Dog. I get what you're saying. That was funny. Hey, folks, we did lose the couch potato right now. I don't know if that's because he's going to go to this program.
DMV.
Oh, maybe it's his turn, Brian, to go to DMV.
Hey, Brian, how's Cujo?
Yeah, you sent us pictures. Oh, you sent us a video that we can't see yet because we're live.
Oh, I don't know. He's, I guess he's at home. I think he's doing good.
Since we have our resident college.
Yeah, since we have our resident college guy, and Sonny is back, we're going to college. Sonny, you missed us talking about Cujo, so let me bring Sonny back in. Go ahead, Big Dog.
Brian, I wanted to get your thoughts and comments about Grambling refusing to travel, and now because it is a no-contest game, what's your opinion on that?
Well, if they shut the damn school down, then. I mean, these guys are mad because Doug Williams was fired, and he's a great coach. Don't get me wrong, guys.
No, he's not.
He's a good coach, but if you don't win football games, you don't keep your job. They've lost, 12 games in a row? I mean, a change needs to be made.
Yeah, I agree about that.
That's not a good coach.
I agree with that, but what do you think about, last week where they had a 750-mile trip that they had to go by bus on? I mean, that isn't really acceptable.
Well, win some damn games, and maybe they'll fly you. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Is that like Major League? You give them the bad tricks?
Yeah, exactly. You're on the bad bus, and you're on a plane with no pilot. You know.
Well, to go on, in case the people don't know that are listening, it was a I believe it was a 16-hour bus ride. They left Friday night.
Holy crap.
And they got there Saturday morning and then proceeded to lose later on that night 48-0. So,
was it football?
Yes, college football. So this week they had another, it wasn't as bad. It was only about 180-mile drive. But they said, you know, this is an ongoing thing. You know, we didn't want our coach fired even though he sucked. You know, they didn't say that last part, but.
You lose 12 in a row, you're a second coach.
So they decided to boycott the game for, they said, unfair traveling conditions, and it was unsafe, and blah,
so
blah,
the
blah.
School or the team?
The team. The team had a meeting, and they went to the athletic director on Wednesday, I believe, and said, we are not playing on Saturday.
Now, can we just do a Twitter game instead?
And they had a few conditions that they said that they would that had to be met for them to play that Saturday.
Well,
one of them.
I would pull their scholarships. I would pull their scholarships,
yeah.
Pick their ass out of school, and get some people in there. Hell, you can't do any worse. You haven't won a game in 2 years anyway.
that is so very, very serious. One of the conditions was that they fire the interim coach, which they did, but they said there were other conditions that were not met. And that is why they refused to go on the bus ride yesterday. The bus, they even held the buses till like 5 in the afternoon, hoping that they could get something done. Nothing got done, so the game is considered a no contest. And we'll see what happens.
In legal terms, that's no local.
No, it's a forfeit. Grambling forfeited the game. And then and now they're going to have to pay the ticket for all the opposing fans that bought tickets as well.
Yeah, and also the NCAA also said, as you said, they consider a forfeit, and they will the Grambling State will be fined by the NCAA.
Good.
Ooh, that's scary.
Hey, wait a minute. But aren't they still going to get trophies because they're on the team?
they get rings, now.
What, they get rings? Sonny, don't ever compare your skill with spoiled brats, please, Mr. Clark, because your election to the Minor League Hall of Fame is indelible. Do you know that you beat Vince Scully into the Hall of Fame? You were 2 years in, and you got elected. Vince Scully had to wait years to be elected.
I know.
Now, this
just
is
goes to
Sonny,
show that
Sonny
they have
Clark
no clue
the
what
fame.
They're doing.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, fine, Sonny. This is from Grambling safety Naquan Smith.
What?
He told Sports Illustrated.
Where's Grambling? Hold on, just very quick. Where's Grambling? No, Sonny. Where is Grambling? Is that by Greenbow, Alabama?
No, I thought it was. I thought it was in Washington, actually.
I thought it was in Louisiana or something.
Yeah. Okay, it is. Louisiana. Okay, we're now talking about Louisiana, and what's the name of the safety?
Naquan Smith.
What the hell is that? Naquan. What the hell kind of name is that?
Yep, Louisiana.
If you give in to these demands right here, if you give in, everybody's going to start doing it. You can either do one of two things, or either drop out of school and go flip burgers and shut the hell up, or you can be a good enough athlete to play in the SEC where they fly you around, Either that, shut up, dude. You can't win. You suck.
And here's another thing, guys. Guys, here's another thing why players will never be played in college. Because the minute they're played, they're now employees. And the NCAA will have no control over players. They're going to have to come up with contracts. Guys, football players or any collegiate athlete will never be paid. Think about what just happened here. Because if they start putting these demands and they get met, other teams are going to start putting demands. And they're going to say, okay, well, no travel, and I want to get paid. Think of where it's going to go, guys.
Okay, this was from Naquan Smith. He told Sports Illustrated, it does something to your body being on the bus that long.
Really?
We were kind of upset the other team got a chance to fly there. It wasn't fair that we couldn't fly. So, and that was, of course,
why did the other team fly?
Because they win.
Oh, okay.
Which was Alcorn
State.
It was to a neutral site.
But I think Alcorn State has more money than Grambling.
Well, yeah, because they got money when they beat Michigan 4 years ago.
And they win,
yeah.
Guys. That's the thing. You win. You perform. You get things. You get hurt. If you're the Cleveland Indians in the movie Major League, you're riding on a city bus. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's life for you. So what it should do, motivate you to get better, maybe. Maybe you can get on a
red-eye flight
or something.
Yeah. Well, what they were saying, too, was the conditions, I guess, in Grambling. It said that Coach Williams, when he was still with them before he got fired, said had raised funds through an alumni group and bought sorely needed new mats for the weight room. It says Sports Illustrated also reported that the old mats presented safety hazards, but since the money raised had not gone through the school's foundation, the school president and the athletic director ordered the new mats to be stored in another building.
and Williams was fired a week later. So they're alleging a lot of things are happening, I guess, behind the scenes, little stuff like that, where they need new equipment or new stuff so that they feel that they're safe. They feel that they're being ignored, which, of course, goes back to you guys not winning. If you win at least some games, you know, you're going to get some money. But I totally agree with Brian on this one, man. You know, if you're refusing to play, pull a scholarship. Say, you know.
Pull a scholarship. So go to junior college.
I was never gifted enough to get the athletic scholarship to a university or college of any sort. But I'm pretty sure that when you are given a scholarship, you do have to sign paperwork saying, I'm going to abide by these certain rules. And I'm pretty sure there's a clause that says, you got to play.
Hey, I'm curious, guys. From a legal standpoint, I'm curious. When these college kids accept the scholarship and they sign for these scholarships and they're under 18, is that illegal?
Usually, there are
kids that are 17.
Their parents signed. Their parents signed.
Their parents signed, but does that mean that the kid is still responsible in a way? I'm just curious. Well, no, because they're not emancipated. That's an interesting argument that we'll have to talk about another day, because we only have 4 minutes left. Get the hell out of here.
Okay. Are we transitioning, or are you just calling in?
What do you want to do?
I don't care.
You don't care? Ooh, you're talking dirty.
What's the number? 347-215-7497?
That's the number.
So what we're going to do, Sonny, is we're going to finish a minute early, and we're going to go over to your program.
All right, very good. I'll see you there.
Goodbye. Get out of here.
But guys, is it me or these kids just, I mean, they're pussies. All of them. I mean, every kid in America, it seems like these days, are spoiled. I mean, I'm beside myself at this action by these players. I mean, you not just hurt your school, you hurt the fans, everybody that paid money to come. You're affecting other people besides your selfish selves.
You're absolutely right. I mean, these kids are spoiled little brats.
We agree with you, Brian. We agree. I don't know if you're absolutely right, but we agree with you.
No, he's absolutely right. These kids are spoiled little brats that it is the median. No, ours are a little more mature. Not much more mature, but just a little. But that it's the me generation. It's all about me. That's all they care about. You know, and they need to be taught. I mean, like in this case, They did decide not to play. So I think it's well within the school and the athletic director's power to say, you know what? You refused. You broke your contract. You're gone.
Yep.
You have to pay for the school now.
Well, guys, imagine if you, like, I went to the national championship game. I paid $1,100 for my ticket, $700 for the flight, hotel, rent a car, all that. I'm at about $2,500 or more. And if I got there and Auburn refused to play that game, somebody would be going to hell that day, I promise you. And so I just think of it like that. Like these fans travel themselves. They don't fly to come watch you play. They drive because they just support the school. They're real fans, and now they can't even go to a game. And now they're out money and plans. Maybe they took off work to come. I mean, this is ridiculous. I've never seen anything like this. And they need to nip this in the bud now, because if they don't, like Roger said, we're going to have some big problems down the road.
Brian, I want to thank you for that. I know the Big Dog actually has something good to say. I'm going to ask him to hold it because we are down to 90 seconds. Brian, I want to thank you for calling in early. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to finish up now. Matt Alvarez, hopefully you'll join us over there. Yes, please. Everyone, go ahead and call. He's already moving his way over there. 347-215-7497. And we're going on over to the Couch Potato right now. Folks, we appreciate it. Thanks. Matt, carry on. Hopefully, is Matt in like on the East Coast or something? I saw something saying he was not in wherever he normally is. Folks, thanks, Matt. Good job. You always do a great job. Your numbers are better, punk. And actually, you're doing very well, Matt. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk soon. We're going over to the couch potato. Peace!